Hello, my name is Marlene, and I'd like to welcome you to Vegan Nation. Vegan Nation is an informational program featuring music, news, interviews, and events about the vegan evolution revolution happening worldwide. The views in this program do not necessarily reflect the views of this radio station nor its management. I'd like to thank all our listeners for tuning in to Vegan Nation. In this episode, we're featuring the Rancher Advocacy Program, their summit held in February 2021, and also a recent op-ed piece by vegan veterinarian Dr. Armai Time. Let's start out with some of the snippets from the vegan event, Rancher Advocacy Summit. For the full 2.5-hour summit, please visit rancheradvocacy.org and also the Vegan Nation Facebook page, as I am honored to have live-streamed the Rancher Advocacy Program Summit.
Hello and welcome. Jane Velez Mitchell here. I am so honored to welcome you to the Global Summit, the Rancher Advocacy Program Summit to Evolve Beyond Animal Agriculture. We have a team from around the world all gathered to answer the most important question of our time. What can farmers do on their land to thrive without using animals? This is the question that the human race must answer if we are to combat climate change and reverse habitat destruction, wildlife extinction, human world hunger, water pollution, preventable human disease, and prevent the next pandemic. It is literally the most important question of our time. My name is Jane Velez Mitchell. I am the founder of JaneUnchained.com, which is a social media news network focusing on animal rights, climate change, human health, and telling the stories with the help of 70 volunteer citizen journalists around the world that the mainstream media is ignoring on these issues. Now, let's go straight out to my co-host, Renee King Sonnen, the founder of the Rowdy Girl Sanctuary and of the Rancher Advocacy Program. Renee, in Texas.
Thank you so much, Jane, and welcome everyone to the second RAP Summit. And so grateful to my co-host, Jane Unchained News, who is broadcasting this important summit live from Jane Unchained. And actually almost 3 million people are following around the world because of her network and the cross-posting that's being done. So thank you for that. I am the founder of Rowdy Girl Sanctuary and the Rancher Advocacy Program. The RAP Summit is a direct result of the fact that I went vegan on a Texas cattle ranch. 6 years ago, I could not take the cruelty anymore. I have a calf. I had a calf at the time, and her name was Rowdy Girl. She's still with me. She's a full-grown cow today, and she is, y'all, my spiritual advisor. I know that may sound crazy to some, but what I know today is that animals have a lot to say, and if we get quiet and listen, they will tell us the truth. And I have been honored to tell her story through Rowdy Girl Sanctuary, and now the Rancher's Advocacy Program is a result of a Texas beef cattle ranch going vegan in the heart of cattle country. As a result of that, families from all over the United States and the world have reached out to me. Some are on this call, Cindy and Richard Traylor, and they wanted to know, what can we do? What can we do? Help us. Rancher Advocacy Program is a result of that question.
I want to go out to one of my heroes, John Lewis, the badass vegan, who is producing an incredible documentary called They're Trying to Kill Us, which really gets at the root of animal agriculture. Is, as we are killing animals, the industry is killing us with heart disease, with cancer, with all sorts of problems. And John, I know that you're focused on taking the power back, empowering African-American farmers who have been really persecuted and chased off their land, literally, and also empowering consumers to make smarter choices and leverage that to take aim at animal agriculture and come up with alternatives. So what can the communities of color do to grow their own food and to use food to take the power back.
From what I've seen, and thank you for inviting me as well, and hello to everybody, but from what I've seen is that our main thing is we have to understand that we possess the power to change. I think a lot of times the power has been taken away from the Black community, Latino community, people of color in general, and we don't believe that we have power. We don't believe we have options. So now we have to show people that, you know, we have these options to buy healthy food. We have these options to grow healthy food. It may not be a full farm. It may be in your backyard. It may be on your patio. It may be in the corner, a couple of herbs here and there, but there are options available. And you can grow as you start to learn more and more. From what we've seen also with just the disease factor, you know, you talked about, you know, like COVID, but a lot of people don't understand too the multitude of diseases and ailments that come with ingesting animal protein. So what we're trying to do is show, no, I'll take it back. We're not trying to do, what we're doing is we're showing people that you can thrive and you don't have to hurt any animals to do it, you know, in order to get to this healthy mind state. You know, we've become a nation that believes that disease is actually just a way of life, that our DNA is the only factor in the diseases that we suffer from. And when you look at the research, you don't even have to be a scientist. You just look at the research yourself. You'll see that animal protein is one of the number one contributors to, you know, the heart disease, the hypertensions, the type 2 diabetes, and the list goes on of diseases that we have literally been conditioned to believe that, oh, this is just a way of life. You know, dying at 50, that was a long life. That's not a long life, but we've been conditioned that, hey, he lived to 50. He had a good life. It's like, no, we have more in us and we still need to keep evolving. And the way to evolve is to incorporate this plant-based way of eating, veganism, and understand that we can thrive and not harm these animals along the way.
Next up is Geraldine Stark. She's the CEO and founder of Refarmed. They're a startup based out of Spain. And when I was talking to her back in 2019, she was all about turning farms into sanctuaries. That was her vision. And now she's going from turning them into sanctuaries to turning them into sanctuaries and plant-based milk.
Hi, Renee. Thank you. Hi, everyone. I'm so happy to be here sharing with you all. And yes, initially, like you said, it was really about transforming them into sanctuaries so that we don't need, because the problem with current sanctuaries is that they need, you know, they depend on volunteers, they depend on donations, they need to allocate more and more resources to help all these animals. And there is kind of a problem if we cannot just continue saving all these animals if they continue producing them by the billions every year. It just don't add up. So I really wanted to find a way to help these farmers become self-sustainable sanctuaries.
Thank you guys so much. Jane, straight out to you for the challenges we all face.
Yes, Renee, there are so many challenges. The basic premise of this global summit is that farmers and ranchers should not have to reinvent the wheel themselves. They shouldn't have to figure it all out themselves. We need strategic planning. We need to get together and work together because they're dealing with all of these pressures. It's not just family and community pressure, but the contracts that their overlords who are, living on Park Avenue in Beverly Hills, never set foot in a concentrated animal feeding operation. And yet they're the ones making all the money. Often these poor farmers are trapped in terrible debt. And there's also systemic racism that is absolutely riddled throughout the entire system. So what we want to do is help overcome these challenges with micro and macro solutions. I want to go out to Jeff Whaling of the National Hemp Association, because Jeff, you have some breaking news. You are actually doing a program that will help farmers transition out of animal agriculture to making something else, presumably hemp. Take it away and tell us what you're doing.
The path that we have taken to advocate and then to legalize hemp, which is now America's newest commodity crop, is something that you can follow as you pursue your goals. The National Hemp Association is based in Washington, D.C. We're the largest hemp advocacy group in North America with 50,000 members and supporters. We advocate for this new commodity crop. People say hemp, well, isn't that marijuana? That's part of the cannabis family, but they're completely different crops. What I have shared with Renee is that hemp is going to be that revolutionary crop that will help farmers, because as we move to climate change, as we move to sustainability, as we move to plant-based food and solutions, we know that hemp can fill all of that. Why? Most people don't know that hemp can grow 21 feet in 110 days, is the most sustainable crop on the planet, consumes three times the CO2 than any other crop, needs no pesticides, no fertilizer, is 100% digestible protein. The protein is the purest protein that's available, and we have incredible demands for this product. By the way, you can build your house, you can build your automobile, you can power your automobile, power your home, and replace all of the fossil fuels that we use today with hemp. What is the biggest challenge, and Jane, to your question earlier, was how do we help the American farmer transition? And we have, after 5 years, been able to get USDA's National Institute of Food and Agriculture to open their floodgates to allow funding to research the entire supply chain, because there is no equipment that can harvest a 21-foot crop. If we want to get all of the revenue sources from the seed, the grain, the fiber, the herd, there is no decortication equipment, although we were the biggest producers of hemp pre-1940 in America. We need to rekindle all of that.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. That is just so incredible. I know yesterday I didn't even want to get off the phone when we were talking. I was so impressed.
Well, thank you.
So we're going to be hearing a lot more from Jeff, but and his amazing work he's doing at the National Hemp Association.
We're listening to Renee King Sonnen, the founder of Rancher Advocacy Program. Veganizing the farmer, families, their land, and the planet. You tune into Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Marlena Massachusetts. I'm featuring snippets, a shortened, edited version of the Rancher Advocacy Summit, co-hosted by Jane Velez Mitchell of Jane Unchained News Network. You can hear the full summit by visiting janeunchained.com. Vegan Nation was invited to be one of the cross-posters of the Rancher Advocacy Summit. And you can view the full summit, the 2.5-hour summit, also on Vegan Nation Facebook page. We'll be taking a short break, and then we'll continue with the Rancher Advocacy Summit. Veganizing the farmer, families, their land, and the planet. I'd like to thank all our listeners for tuning in to Vegan Nation.
Hi, I'm Amy Goodman, host of Democracy Now!, your daily grassroots, global, unembedded, independent, international investigative news hour. You're listening to WCUW Worcester 91.3 FM, community radio serving central Massachusetts, and online at WCUW.org.
Democracy Now! Is from 1 to 2 p.m. Monday through Friday on WCUW, your community radio station.
Please join us on Vegan Nation right here on WCUW 91.3 FM every Thursday, 4:30 p.m. Vegan Nation features local, national, and international news, events, interviews, and music on the vegan lifestyle. Listen worldwide at WCUW.org. Worcester Community Radio, serving central Massachusetts and the globe. Thanks for tuning in.
Bring to the forefront not only our corporate sponsor, but a huge friend, an amazing man, a human being on this planet, Brett Christoffel. And I say that with all due respect. He's been to Rowdy Girl. He comes out here at least every 30 to 40 days. spends time with the cows. And, you know, he's had an amazing path. You know, I didn't know, Brett, that you were actually a holistic health coach and that you had a smoothie stand where you were making veganic juices. You know, you have really evolved to become one of the leaders right now, fastly becoming a leader in the plant-based food field. Tell us all about All Y'all's Food and how you might see farmers creating plant-based distribution contracts to help you and other plant-based food companies with their own food crops.
Thank you, Renee. Howdy, everyone. I opened back in 13, I opened an organic raw vegan juice and smoothie bar, even though I still ate meat and dairy all day. And the reason I did it because I knew it was the most nourishing thing you could serve people, and I wanted to be kind to people. Fast forward to almost 5 years ago, I stopped eating animals and became vegan almost 3 years ago. And in this plant-based space, what I found out, and in doing some research after you asked me to participate, I realized there is nothing out there between the state and the federal governments that support anything like this. There's some loan programs and some grants, but there's nothing whatsoever. And so as I learned how hard it is, the problem is in this space, what needs to happen is a connection between the farmers and the manufacturers.
We're listening to snippets of the Rancher Advocacy Summit held February 7th, 2021. The second one, the first one of 2021. You're tuned into Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Molly Narrow in Worcester, Massachusetts. And now we'll continue more with Rancher Advocacy Summit. Here's Cindy and Richard Trainer, animal ag farmers transitioning to veganic business practices, supported by ReFarmed out of Spain. And ReFarmed was mentioned before the break.
Well, when we heard from ReFarmed, it seemed exactly what we were looking for. And it seemed exactly the sort of thing that livestock farmers need to hold their hands and show them the way to get away from livestock farming. Yeah. It just fitted exactly with what we were trying to do. Mm-hmm. And it's a really fantastic initiative. We hope that we can help to make it a success.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, thank you. We're going to talk to another farmer now, Renee.
Yeah. Thank you so, so much for that. Yes. The next guest we have up is Peter Albrecht. He comes to us from Sweden. And would you please tell us about the work you're doing in Sweden? And also, we want to hear all about the veganic standard. I guess it's the equivalent of what y'all are calling the biocyclic vegan standard. Peter, take it away and just tell us how veganic farming can really help farmers as they transition today.
Well, hi, everyone, and thanks for letting me be joining all of you all. So I'm here in Sweden. We've been farming vegan for 10 years. So in basically, as you said, I was an animal rights activist, and I had a lot of questions coming to me when we're in streets, you know, supporting animal rights issues. And in the end of it, we just wanted to prove that it's possible to grow vegan without animal inputs. In 10 years now, we are part of a movement here in Europe. There's two different ways of getting certified being a vegan organic farmer. There's a standard, the biocyclic vegan standard, that's coming from Germany, and there's the Vegan Organic Network, is a UK-based standard also. So if you're a farmer looking for advice or what is approved for a vegan standard, so you can go to those web pages and check it out.
Tell us real quick why organic isn't enough? Why veganic?
So if you buy a vegan product, even if it's organic, it could be, there's probably some used animal body parts or, you know, ground up bones or manure or something in it, you know. So the organic community is living on still, you know, using animals and exploiting them to grow something organic.
How can our audience plug into the work you do? Don't you have a podcast or something?
Well, I should have one, but I don't.
You had a podcast. How could they watch your website?
So I would recommend the one to go on. I wrote it, biocyclicvegan.org. It's the big central homepage for Biocyclic Vegan Organic Network. It's based in Germany. It's developed by Dr. Eisenbach. He's a German agriculture PhD expert. You should look into all his work. He is, I mean, he's the brain behind all the standards that we are using, you know, and implementing it.
And I also want to just say to all of you that are here, we have worked really, really hard to cross-post this amazing summit to almost 3 million people outside of who's in the Zoom room. So imagine, imagine the breadth and the scope that this summit is going. If you would like to be a brand partner for our next summit, please let me know. I'm happy to get you on board now so that you can start taking advantage of that. If there's ranchers in the room out there anywhere, please go to our intake form. We have a rancher intake form on rancheradvocacy.org where you can actually fill out the information you need so that we can have the conversations with you with our RAP advisors. And again, I want to say a special thank you to Dr. Rao, who I know is in the room, Gabe Cousins, and all of you that support Rowdy Girl Sanctuary and the Rancher Advocacy Program. Thank you, Jane.
Thank you. This was great. Let's do it. What's that famous saying? Don't get despondent, organize. Let's organize and make this happen.
Texas is going vegan. Texas is going vegan right now. Several years ago when Jane came out for the Texas Vegan Festival, you know, that we went all over town, we went all over Texas. We wrote the song, Texas is going vegan. For real.
Much thanks to the change makers, including Rancher Advocacy Program Summit. People who are making a difference to veganize this world. The second summit was held on February 7th, 2021. And on February 9th, another action that I learned of is by vegan veterinarian Dr. Imaiti May. And she wrote an op-ed that I think is very important. Again, veganism is the non-cooperation, the non-compliance with forces of tyranny. Changing this world into one of egalitarianism, sustainability, and peace. Here's an important piece by vegan veterinarian Dr. Imaiti May concerning an event that recently happened in the United States. This piece, which was published on February 8th, I make a correction, it wasn't February 9th, it was February 8th, the day after the Rancher Advocacy Program Summit. In this piece, was published in The Defender, a publication of Children's Health Defense. This involved an action that happened in Los Angeles, California. In this letter to The Defender, veterinarian Imaiti May takes issue with how the media portrayed the January 30th Health Freedom Demonstration at the Dodger Stadium COVID vaccination site. Contrary to media reports, the protest was peaceful, May said. Dear the Defender, as a participant in last weekend's event, I can tell you the truth of what actually happened. I am a veterinarian who became increasingly skeptical about vaccine safety and efficacy by studying the science and observing the impacts of these interventions on both humans and animals. I have been actively involved in health freedom activism since the introduction of California's SB 277, which was co-sponsored by my state senator with whom I had attended high school. Since then, I have screened and shared the documentaries Trace Amounts, Vaxxed, and Vaxxed 2, which expose the corruption in vaccine safety science with hundreds of people. I have stood alongside parents of vaccine-injured children during demonstrations in Sacramento against SB 276 and met with lawmakers to share information about risks of vaccines. Everyone who took part in those actions understands the critical importance of discipline, nonviolence, and respect for choice. It necessarily follows that we respect the individual's choice to either undergo or to decline vaccines. On January 30th, I joined about 60 medical choice advocates from diverse backgrounds, ages, and political leanings who gathered in peaceful protest outside the vaccine site hosted at Dodger Stadium. We came together to voice concerns about vaccine mandates and educated passersby considering the COVID-19 vaccine about the real risks associated with receiving this experimental treatment. the coverage of this event has not been truthfully disclosed to the public. This demonstration was organized by a group of concerned citizens, including doctors, nurses, and engineers, who wanted to make sure people were informed about the risks of the vaccine they were scheduled to receive. They were joined by members of the Los Angeles-based organization Stand for Freedom Now, a group of freedom-loving activists committed to sharing the truth about COVID-19 with the public while defending our freedoms to make informed consent and opt out of forced vaccinations. While there were some spirited exchanges at certain points, there was no language inciting violence and certainly no acts of violence. The event was completely peaceful. Both groups worked hand in hand with the LAPD, and had it not been for the LAFD shutting the gates to the site, this event would have gone unnoticed by the media, as no one was prevented from choosing to be vaccinated. It was therefore unfortunate that the LA Times and other mainstream news media inaccurately portrayed the activists as causing the entrance to the Dodger Stadium to be blocked, causing the vaccination site to be shut down, as well as falsely alleging that participants were members of extremist far-right groups. The truth is that the protesters did not stop anyone from getting the vaccine, which has already been slated to be mandated as a condition of employment. In many cases, something medical freedom advocates are clearly concerned about. As demonstrators approached the gate outside Dodger Stadium, they were informed that the entrance to the stadium would be closed off and that they were not permitted to enter. Activists cooperated with authorities and did not disturb the peace, merely waving their signs to passersby and sometimes sharing facts over a megaphone. As freedom-loving activists who take our First Amendment rights seriously, we embrace people of all walks of life, denounce violence in all its forms, and find it repugnant to be slandered unjustly. We had several medical professionals in attendance, including a medical doctor wearing a white lab coat, who handed out flyers explaining how this new vaccine uses an untested mRNA technology that had fatal effects in previous animal trials. One of the signs showed the CDC report of the number of deaths and injuries from the vaccine, as reported in a Children's Health Defense article. In conclusion, as a participant in this peaceful demonstration, I want to emphasize that this was an absolutely peaceful event in which we exercised our rights of free speech to bring this very important issue to the attention of the public, and we plan to keep it that way. In fact, the LAPD has already reached out about the upcoming protest on February 13th and will ensure that any infiltrators are appropriately dealt with. We welcome the opportunity for a fair, uncensored live debate on the COVID-19 issue on a public platform. Armaiti May, DVM, Los Angeles, California. I share this important news of an op-ed article by vegan veterinarian Dr. Armaiti May, especially because we are living in an age of massive censorship. And this is a platform for free speech, and I would also like to relay the deep veganism message that life is a game of boomerangs. As we sow, we reap. What we put out comes back. How can a humanity, a carnist, non-vegan humanity, ever expect universal health and freedom while inflicting sickness, disease, suffering, and slavery on those who don't look like us? Much thanks to all the vegan organizations who are working very hard to change this paradigm, to shift it from a carnist paradigm of normalized violence into the new vegan paradigm of normalized nonviolence. Thank you all. And much thanks for tuning in to Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Miley Narrow, in Worcester, Massachusetts. Please join us again next week. You can hear this program again at vegansradio.wordpress.com. The views in this program do not necessarily reflect the views of this radio station nor its management. Let's go out with some more of the beautiful music of Will Tuttle from his album, Animal Songs. This is Marlene in Massachusetts, wishing you a good day. Veganism is basically the non-discriminatory respect of personal sovereignty and bodily autonomy and freedom are all part of the rising vegan movement.